The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
This is Winners and Sinners, where we look back on the week that was, but with a few twists. And we are delighted, as ever, to be joined by Off the Ball's Ger Gilroy and Today FM's Alison Curtis. Good evening to you both.
Good evening.
How are
delighted
you?
To have you here. Alison, let's go to you first. Your first winner.
Okay, so am I allowed to say it's Marks and Spencer's, or is particularly a campaign that they're running?
Yes,
or
it's Gillian
Anderson. Or it's Gillian Anderson. It's all three. It's called Love That, and Gillian Anderson has been employed as the Chief Compliments Officer. And I just think it's really clever, and I've always been a fan of really clever ads. I went to a film festival in Toronto a number of years in a row, which literally is just the best ads around the world, and it's like 3 hours long. Mad Men is my favorite. I just love it. I love clever ads, and I think this is really good. And I think it's a good. Have you seen it yet?
I have. Yeah. I'm not so much of a fan of clever ads, although I probably prefer them to stupid ads. But I'm a big fan of Gillian Anderson.
She looks great.
It's clever. She's cool. She's
everybody
gorgeous.
Agrees.
Yeah,
but
she's gorgeous. Yeah. Let's be
honest. I just find. She gives me hope, is actually what she does for women. Kind, do you know what I mean?
Well,
and for aging and for
year,
everything.
Exactly, yeah. And
all of that.
So the whole idea came around study that like nearly 70% of people literally get lifted by a compliment, even though in Ireland we notoriously bat them away.
And probably still like getting them.
Yeah, and it improves your mood. And obviously what you're wearing improves your sense
of
confidence.
You do look great today, Alison, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'm wearing the Canadian tuxedo, the double denim.
Perfect.
Canadian tux. So, yeah, so it just was based on all that. And they like went off and decided that basically this was a good idea for an ad.
She
and
says love that about 10 times in the
ad. Yeah, love
she?
That.
I haven't seen it. So what's yeah. What happens?
So she is, you see her, her assistant comes in and goes, we've got such and such this morning. And she interrupts the assistant and says, love that. Love
yes.
And then it shows her going through the day complimenting
people.
Women only, actually. No men being complimented.
It's about the women's spring summer collection of clothes at M&S.
I wasn't playing the gender card.
No,
right?
No, of course not.
It was all
Shane
all
was just a bit disappointed. He was hoping for a compliment.
I was hoping for a compliment, yeah.
You do look great though, Shane.
Thank you, Ciara.
As do you, Jar Jesus.
Oh, everybody does.
She hands her card. Somebody goes, are you? And she says, yeah. And she hands her card and it's Gillian Anderson. And it is with underneath her title is Chief Compliments Officer, Marks and Spencer.
It is. It's quite zeitgeisty too, because I think everyone does love Gillian Anderson. And Gillian Anderson is kind of, I don't know if you should say that about a woman, but she's kind of ballsy and she kind of is, you know, she's quite upfront and she's quite sexual sometimes and she's all of that.
Mm.
And she's just really cool. She's just a really cool woman who everyone kind of admires.
And it always worked, like nonstop. Has been incredibly hard working. Sex Education is an unbelievable TV show.
Yeah,
like
fair, it's great.
It was kind of a comeback in a way, even though she never went away. She did all those stuff in the North, the detective series.
The Fall.
I didn't watch that. Was it any good?
It started
series
off good.
One brilliant, and then it was a steady descent after. I actually thought she
by the end
she overacted.
By the end, it was kind of insane. Actually,
I didn't watch it.
Ludicrous.
There was a kind of a kind of a frisson between her and the serial
killer.
It got ridiculous.
Oh.
It got
he was Jamie Dornan, so you know.
Yeah. Oh,
so we all got to go, oh, yeah, fair.
Totally fine.
So we can all kind of see it, can we? I think
so
we can.
Go back to compliments, though, because...
So, yeah.
I think I might have told you the story recently, Ciara, I can't remember, but I was in the Stag's Head on the day of my son's graduation, and we were all sitting there, and a woman came up and said, I just want to say to you, I think your outfit is really, really brilliant. Fair play to you.
To you?
Yeah. And I was... chuffed.
Yeah.
And, but I also really admired her for doing it, because I sometimes I see people wearing outfits and I'd love to do that. And I always kind of chicken out.
Yeah. No, I've recently started to do it more. And maybe it is, again, now I don't want to genderify, but like maybe it is more women paying each other compliments. But it's great when men can receive them and pay them for one another as well. It does lift our confidence.
I will compliment somebody. I will. But I notice I mostly do it when I'm in a really good mood myself, and I can sort of, I don't know, it's something.
Are you always genuine though?
Yeah, I don't think I would say it without being genuine. I would, But I also think when you do compliment somebody, particularly if it's well received, which it mostly is,
yeah,
you get a lift as well.
Absolutely.
It's sort of one of the, it's like kindness. The giver and the receiver both get something out of it.
I agree.
I think there's something in a compliment.
And I think that's why it's clever, the ad as well, because then people can, they're enjoying watching it happen and everybody has an experience of that happening to them. So I think that's why, like, we all remember really strong ads.
Yeah.
So I think that's,
I also think, and I don't know what this says about me, that as I go on, I like Marks and Spencer's clothes more and more. And is that,
Kira, sorry, there is absolutely no shame.
Is that because of I'm aging, or is that because they've actually gotten better?
They have gotten better, but also we are aging. But I always shop there, and I am.
Yeah, I know.
Proud.
Okay, Jer, Cadé de Vulture, then Shocked and Shook.
Shocked in the Gaeilge itself. I've noticed you always sign off with the Cúpla Focal. Is that a new thing, or did you do that in Breakfast?
I did it on Breakfast. Try and get to me. Now, look, my Irish is not as good as I'd like it to be, but I'm...
You always sign off, always, and have done for years with this. Do you say it?
Tuarara agus Toghbogé.
Yeah.
It's Jerry Springer style.
Yeah.
What was this?
I can't remember.
Look after yourselves and each other.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Having... basically, like, have a show where they sort of
Hill Street Blues,
sort of
stay safe out there, or whatever that thing was.
Yeah, yeah. look, I just, this is kind of in keeping a little bit with last week, talking about the resurgence in Irish music and the Today FM Top 100 songs. It feels like the Irish language has had a moment over the last while, right? So we're launching a new podcast with Gráinne McIlwain. She's a TV presenter. You might know her from TG Carr and GA
really
Plus.
Good. Yeah, really good.
Her story is that she wasn't born in the Gaeltacht or in an Irish-speaking house or went to a Gael school, but did end up studying Irish and now lives in the Connemara Gaeltacht. And I just was interested that, like, there was also a kid from Italy this week. I don't know if you saw this on your Facebook page, where he was speaking perfect Irish that he learned from Ross na Rún, from the subtitles in Ross na Rún. And I was like, oh, that kind of, that riddles with bullets, those people who are like, oh, I can't do it because you taught me wrong. I'm like, yeah, it's not their teacher's fault, it's our fault.
Yeah, so that's an I kind of agree with you. This thing where it's how we were taught in the school. I think that's becoming tired and lazy as an excuse.
I've used it for years, I just probably should say. But having said that, as Shane knows, I have been trying to up my game a tiny bit.
It's on Duolingo, right?
So, actually, that's what I do. Yeah. I use Duolingo now.
I'm ashamed to say, like, I've moved here 99 and I know body parts and colors, and that's purely from what Joan learned during lockdown, my daughter. So I'm ashamed to say that, but I would have an understanding in the sense that I have an aversion to French because we started it when we were four, learned it right through till 18, and the way it was taught. So then when I left school, I was like, I'm going to learn Spanish. And that's what I want to teach myself. Now, I'm not great, but I was like, I don't want to know any more French because the way it was taught in school, not because of the language.
I would say I wasn't good at Irish in school. And I don't think it was, I don't want to use it as an excuse. But to me, trying to get kids who don't speak a language and have no sense of ownership of the language, trying to get them to learn poetry and all that, I don't think that's the right road. I think make it a living, breathing thing where they can chat and gossip and all that. That would be, for my money, better. But I don't do that. I regret not being good at it. And that's why I do things like Duolingo and come in and say things like,
you're
said something about
words out of nowhere.
I know.
It's quite surprising.
I know. And I at one stage I had no sweenevs and now I have a few.
Yeah,
but anyway, I'm trying because I don't want to be the person that I wish, my kids are so much better at Irish than me. And I wish, I kind of believe in it as our
absolutely.
Our changa.
Yeah.
Changa. What is it? Mother tongue.
I kind of feel like it's a bit of a superpower that we have that we refuse to use. Imagine having a superpower that you refuse to use. It's just, I did French in school and I loved it. But when I go to France for any sustained period of time, I find that I'm actually smarter because I'm starting to think in two things.
Yeah.
And my brain is working
completely
better.
Completely true as well, by the way. Neuroplasticity, you are challenging your brain in a new way and it actually fires and stimulates it to do new stuff.
And you can feel it.
In general.
It's a physical, it manifests itself physically. I'm happier. It's why I always think I'd love to emigrate and actually somewhere where they don't speak English. And I feel like I have that on my doorstep if I would just be a bit braver with the use of language. And
it's a confidence thing for sure, definitely.
100%.
Yeah.
And what do you think of Seacht na Gaeilge? Apart from the fact that it isn't a week, it's more like Caithness na Gaeilge.
Yeah. Let it spread out like a dropped ice cream cone all over the country.
Your kids are in school. Is it a big thing in schools?
There was an Irish assembly in fifth class in Grace Park Educate Together, which was great crack.
Fair play.
So they did stuff. It was bilingual, so obviously, and it was kind of just implicated naturally. I don't know at the secondary school. I didn't hear a dicky bird about it. But then, would you hear? They could have been doing loads of stuff.
My daughter went off to school today. She's in sixth year wearing my Ireland jersey and an Ireland zip-up top or whatever. So,
is that to do with Seachtain na Gaeilge?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Oh, I wasn't to do with rugby, Ciara. Not in school, Katrina. What? There's a rugby match on
tomorrow? Maybe St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. I did pass by a group of little kids. It looked like a Montessori when I was cycling in today. I was cycling along just close to Leeson Street. And there was a whole load of kids of all different, from all different backgrounds. And they all had little Irish flags and little Irish jerseys. And I have to say,
it's adorable.
I'd say that's probably Paddy's, but
it's all good. It genuinely is all good. And I, every time we have these conversations, it kind of increases my, I need to get better.
I
actually do believe in the value of. By the way, you mentioned last week in your winners, and you mentioned it just a second ago about Alison, the Today FM, the top 100
Irish.
It's
great, isn't it?
I was in the car earlier. I was driving along. I was listening to Louise Cantillon, and they got to number 10, and it was With or Without You by U2.
Amazing.
And I haven't heard it in years from the Joshua Tree, and it is
it's so good, an absolute
banger. And I turned it right up, and I sang at the top of my lungs in the car, going, why don't I listen to this more? But it's bringing back all those songs and songs from a point in your life as well, because I was only, you know, young.
Memories of it, yeah.
You weren't that young, were you?
Hey, shots fired. The compliments only today.
Constant shots fired.
They're going to do on Patrick's Day 100 to 1. They're going to do them all
day.
Yeah.
So when is number one being revealed?
Today.
It's already been revealed.
Just this evening, yeah.
So can you tell us at this stage what it is?
Oh yeah, it was revealed on Ray Foley, but I didn't get to hear it.
Zombie. It was Zombie.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's okay.
See, it's a zeitgeist. Okay. That's a generational thing.
I think it's pretty powerful.
Oh, this is a bit too much. But now it's been it's what the kids like.
Right. And the rugby like it too, Shane.
That's why Shane's saying.
Like, that's why he's down
too associated with the rugby team.
Never mad about it. Never liked the lyrics. I don't know. But anyway, sorry, I shouldn't be. Yeah.
Excellent.
Should be more bullish about
Thanks
it.
For that reaction. I think it's great. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Sorry, I'd like to retract that. It's a brilliant choice.
On that embarrassing and awkward note.
He's a company man.
Let's go straight to the news headlines.
Okay, welcome back. Ger and Alison are still with us and we're talking sinners. Ger, what's your sinner of the week?
Trying to get fit in your 40s, late 40s. It's What's the point? Everything aches. Every single part of me is sore.
I'm just saying, wait till you get to your late 50s.
Oh my God.
What?
Yes. It's hard.
Mid to late 50s.
Speaking of compliments from earlier, the amount of people who say to me, how old is Shane Coleman? And I tell them your age, and they are all literally stunned.
Thank you.
They think you're way older. No, I'm only messing with you. But they actually do think,
Have you said it on air?
What?
Your age, have you said it on
air? Yes, I've no problem saying it, except I can never remember, but it's 57. I'm 57.
But no one would think it.
No.
There you go.
That's definitely mid, by the way. Yeah.
100%.
Yes. Clinging to the last vestiges of mid-50s.
It sucks, doesn't it? It really does.
I don't know why. So since January, I've been taking the dog for a walk every day. And when
it's
I get to the beach
it,
sometimes, I start running and I've been doing some sit-ups and push-ups, 5 or 6. And it's like absolutely killing me.
Push-ups are just horrible.
And then you wonder, what's the point? Surely there are enough drugs in the world now to mean that we don't have to do this anymore. Right?
Kira would know.
I would know. I have a slightly different perspective to you, Ger. And not just the medical one, because back in 2022, I broke my back in December that year. And I was in a back brace for 3 months. And then within a year of that, I got my left hip replaced and then my right hip replaced, right? So I have known immobility and unfitness on a really horrible scale where you probably remember, I'd be hobbling around.
I remember doing the walk with you.
Do you remember? I only walked for about
100 days and I hadn't realised how bad you were until.
And I wasn't wussing it. I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk for about more than 10 minutes without, like, I was biting my lip with the pain of it. So I decided once those things were all fixed that I was going to change physically and get properly fit. And I was in the gym this morning. Like, I'm in the gym
almost
every...
So you're committed to the bit, yeah.
Oh, my God. And do you know what? I see it. It's reframed in my head as this is liberation, this is freedom, this is a whole new lease of life kind of thing. And so I work out...
How long did that take?
Well, it took a broken back and two
bandaxed
hips. But I am now, I walk all the time, but I weightlift is what I do in the gym.
But that's important for women.
Oh, completely. I do push, pull and legs.
It's important for everybody when you get to a certain age because muscle wasted
but
and all that.
I have a tricep. I never had a tricep in my life. I have, you know, I've got a couple of muscles I never had in my life.
And you've got more than a couple of muscles.
I have a couple of muscles. And to me, I feel like...
empowered.
Wow. I didn't know I could... I'm fitter and stronger now than I was 10 years ago, even maybe 20 years ago. And
but
so to me, I love it.
I think it's made a difference to you already.
Well, I don't know. So I did make an effort at this one time before. There was a protein company who came to us and where they sponsored us for a while and they were like, oh, we get your personal trainers. And I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. After one session, I got an email from the personal trainer and he said, I'm retiring from the industry effective immediately. Best of luck with your journey.
I was like, were the two connected?
There's a message from the universe here to me is like, this is not for me.
That's terrible.
He did feel pretty miserable. I was like, is this what it's all like? So I haven't gone back since. So do you get someone to help you?
Do you know what yes, I do. And because, first of all, I'm not a natural athlete, as Shane knows. I'm so unsporty and unathletic-y and all that. I'm rubbish.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you're unsporty.
You're very kind, but I totally am.
I did see you kick a GAA ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And your shoe went further than the
I
GAA
think
ball.
I'm dyspraxic,
but
actually.
But in fairness, you did try to kick a ball in slip-on shoes, which was never
I had slip-on mules on a GAA pitch with Shane.
That's not going to work.
No, I know. But I think I'm pretty much dyspraxic because, anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I'm clumsy and I'm not sporty. And so when I went to the gym anytime, I didn't really know what to do. And I was kind of also, after all my orthopedic woes, afraid of hurting myself.
Yeah.
So I had a personal trainer for a short period of time. I couldn't afford it. Like, it was just too dear to go maybe I could afford it like a couple of times a month, but that's not what you need. So I do a thing called group personal training where there are like two or three personal trainers in a small gym. And then there's, it could be 20 of us. But that's more affordable. But they'll come over and they'll say, no, you know, move your arse or whatever they'll say to you. They'll say, you know, stick out your chest, do something a bit different.
So
they give you advice so you don't hurt yourself. And they push you. They go, put more weight on that. And they also spot you. So if you're lifting something and your arms are like failing, they're standing over you. So you're not going to drop it and garrote yourself on the neck if you've got like a bar or whatever. So it totally works for me. And I think if you can find what works for you, which you haven't yet, clearly, it's a game changer. And
was that a shot?
No, it's not a shot. I mean, that's why you're not into it. If you found what you liked, you'd do it.
You
and I also, I go to the nearest...
Tennis?
Yeah, I do like tennis.
I love it.
I find that I'm also wrecked after that. It's just,
it's tiring.
It's that bit where you get going from zero to able to actually do it on a regular basis.
I also go to the nearest gym to my house because I'm lazy. And if I can walk there in 3 or 4 minutes...
It has to be accessible.
That makes me go. Whereas if I had to get in a car and drive for half an hour, I'd probably never go.
Yeah. How much of a gym bunny are you? Do you say, spot me?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow. You really are a gym bunny.
My kids were asking me, they said, you know, when you're bench pressing, mom, like, do you use like little dumbbells or do you use a bar? And I was like, I use a bar. And they go, a proper bar now or a lady bar? And I'm like, a proper bar. And then they were like, respect.
Finally.
So finally.
Stick with it, chair. Stick with
I
it.
Actually,
well, I've no choice because of the dog. You have to bring the dog.
Yeah, you do.
So that's the bit. We were out last night.
Walking
no one else
is
there.
Totally underestimated.
Agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Do you have a sinner for us this week, Alison?
I do. Now I'm going to be bringing the tone right down. It's the Louis Theroux. Have you watched the new Netflix documentary?
I think I'm afraid.
I haven't seen Adolescence for that reason, too.
So explain it. This is the manosphere.
Yeah. So inside the manosphere. So he goes and meets all these influencers who are part of the manosphere, which is this online community, as we'll call it, that have a life philosophy of women and men having traditional roles. And more to the point, as they discover in this documentary, I'm not ruining it for anybody, but that they realize that their inspiration is more to how to get money. So they're conning all these people to follow them on various different platforms and through financial apps to make money. So they're like, if you believe this, like men are top dog, you can have this Lamborghini. So they don't know how much they totally believe what they're saying, but the crux of it is that they're obviously spreading pretty dangerous, you know, material.
How unpleasant are they? How unpleasant
Extremely.
Do they come across?
It's really hard. So there's a guy called
Harrison Sullivan, and also like extremely thick as well, like really dumb people. But anyway, but they're really, it's really awful to have them articulate what they feel and know that there are people out there go, yeah, that seems about right. That seems pretty good. I'll buy that. So it is scary. And I suppose criticisms leveled towards the documentary is like, are you actually giving these guys a bigger platform? Which is what a few people have said. And one review in The Guardian said they are not really looking at the, effects. Did you with Lucy Mandon? The effects that it has on women as much as...
She was making the point, it was a female journalist, she was saying, why not interview some of the women who are close to them to get their reaction?
And a lot of it is about one-way monogamy as well. And like, it's just this whole culture.
One-way monogamy.
Men have to can do have whatever they want, but women have to be monogamous.
And like, there's so many podcast platforms. There's it's everywhere. So that's what I think I was afraid of, because I have a daughter, I have a sister. Both my parents only had sisters. We have quite a female-centric family.
It's very disheartening.
And I'm not raising a son. So that, I think sometimes I'm just... not aware.
It's very disheartening, but I am raising three sons.
What?
But I've held up four fingers there for some reason.
It feels like four.
But I am raising three sons.
Three?
And I don't recognize, so take heart. Yeah. And they are young, like, but they go from 16 to 26, so they are of the age that you might think might be paying attention to the Andrew Tates of
and
this
you're
world.
You're not getting that.
Not at all.
That's like, really like,
I know that there are some people buying into this, and when you hear things like one-way monogamy, what you're actually hearing is, this is a way to make yourself feel better and big yourself up and feel you have power maybe that you don't have anywhere else in your life. I think that's what's actually been said to those young guys.
It's worth watching, though.
But I don't see it. And Shane, you have two. We have five sons between us.
We do.
Which is a weird way of describing it. But I bet you don't see it in yours either.
No, and if I did, we'd be down on like a ton of bricks.
No, I know.
Of course,
There's a term I saw, not to be cooks. As in K-U-C-K-S. Is that short for cuckold? Is that where that comes from or whatever?
It's C-U-C-K-S. And yes, cuck is a cuckold. And it is a man under the thumb of a woman.
Well, a cuckold traditionally was a man who was cheated on by his wife. But it's obviously
cuckolded.
I presume that's where it came from. Yeah. I just thought,
that's what a cuck is.
It's a term of abuse, and it's like a beta cuck.
Yeah.
They go
soy
together.
Soy boy.
They're
there. I don't know
how soy boy is what you'd...
Same.
Beta,
soy boy,
pasty,
cook.
Weak.
Oh my god,
loser, lame, whatever.
Come up in anyway. Yeah,
not the alpha dog. And the whole point of this is like, you two can become an alpha dog with your
It is worth watching, definitely.
Lame-bos,
but I mean, there's an offshoot of that as well, which is the trad wife, which is a huge thing online for a number of years, where it's like women themselves embracing what would have been, you know, finding empowerment in what they consider to be traditional roles. So it's very, it's
a
mucky.
Lot of those influencers. So there was that trad wife. That family, that trad family, and they came out and they were all like abusive of their own children and everything. It was all for the cameras. Do you know what I mean? It's like a horrible front, but they're selling a lie, essentially, because it didn't work that way. But you do see the influencers online, the guys who are like, women are going against their nature if they want a career. Really, you don't sound to me like you know anything about the nature of women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Zing.
But anyway.
Okay, we will take a break and we'll be back in a moment with Jer and Alison. Stay with us.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
And now we're back for our last section of Winners and Sinners with Jer and Alison. Alison, let's go to you. What else is going on in your week?
This is kind of the irony after what we just finished talking about. I donned my trad wife hat this week. I did like a total deep clean. And my God, the sense of accomplishment. So everything in the fridge went out and a proper like wipe down and going, this is great. And so you do feel like a sense of kind of accomplishment when even if you pick one thing.
So satisfying.
But also I was like, yay, like our food is in there. Like, Jesus Christ, this is bad.
Yeah.
So cleaned it all out. And then that was kind of like, yay. You can almost, I don't know if you guys do this, you can almost put it on a to-do list, cross it off like before you actually do it. And you're like, yeah, there, that's done. So it just felt good. So just picking something each week one job and that you would normally not do.
Do you keep opening the fridge now and admiring your work?
Ooh, it sparkles.
And do you have to get your husband to come and admire it?
I did.
Yeah. And I feel you're asking that for a specific reason.
Honestly, we do it all the time. If one of us does it, the other person has to come over and admire it. It's part of it.
We do all respond to praise. I think there is something in that.
Yeah.
I remember when you cleaned the inside of your oven. Do you remember?
I still...
That's amazing.
I had to take it apart, but
great feeling.
I was going by and rubbing it with my elbow and everything just to make sure it was still shining.
There are people who come and do that for you for 100 quid. And it's worth it.
It's not difficult. I saved myself
100
quid.
You've done it yourself, a sense of
accomplishment. I feel I'm going with my nature here when I say I'd rather pay the person the 100 quid than to...
And then tell everybody I've got a great number for you.
I do like clean things. Yes. I do, but oh man.
How are you with clutter? Because there is studies saying clutter bothers women more than like
I'm way too at ease with clutter.
Oh no, I can't handle it at all.
I'm too at ease with all of these things.
I can't do clutter either, I would say.
I have to have, like, and my husband's like, I just put that down there. I said, well, it's gone now because it was cluttering up the one thing on the counter.
It's gone now.
Bung in the car. Forget it. Yeah, forget about it.
Teenagers, unfortunately, don't care about clutter. In fact, they love to add to clutter is my experience.
And you have to value that what they put value on their own belongings, because I've figured that out over the years of throwing things out I thought weren't important, which is bad.
They kind of put value on their own, but then they just fling them anywhere. Is that putting value on them?
Do you have that research to hand about it being a different response? I also don't care about the clutter, but apparently it's important.
Well, can I just say, for those of Uster who don't care so much about it, there's lots of evidence and studies out there that would say things like cluttered desks and cluttered rooms and cluttered studies and cluttered houses, that they are the homes of the highly intelligent.
And the creative.
Yeah. And the creative as well. Yeah. Saying nothing about Alison and Shane, obviously. I'm just saying about you and Niger.
I would agree.
That's maybe one bit of evidence that was out there that can probably be rubbished easily.
Jer, for your anything else, please let me get what I want, but not a concert.
So Morrissey had sold out 1,600 tickets in Valencia. I checked the price, it was about 160 quid a ticket. That's roughly $250,000. And then a statement came out on Twitter from him. And I don't know if it's actually Morrissey writing in the third person or not, but I'll let you guys decide. Having travelled for 2 days by road, Morrissey reached the hotel in Valencia late on Wednesday. Any form of sleep or rest throughout the night was impossible due to festival noise / loud techno singing / megaphone announcement. This experience has left Morrissey in a catatonic state. Before leaving for tonight's scheduled concert, check that the show remains possible under these circumstances. Couple of hours later, tonight's scheduled show in Valencia has been rendered impossible due to sleep deprivation. Morrissey drove from Milan to Valencia, but has been unable to rest in Valencia due to noise. The show is not cancelled. Circumstances render the show impossible. I wonder, is that to try and keep his $250,000? And then Morrissey has described his hotel on Plaza Manises as indescribable hell. It will take me 1 year to recover, and that is an understatement.
You gotta love the drama of this. Do you know what I mean? Like, could he be more dramatic? Do you know what I mean?
Seriously.
But also the importance of sleep, guys. That's not underestimated.
I know, but like, come on, he's a professional.
It will take him a year to recover from this, and that is not an under. That is an understatement.
But doesn't he have a bit of track record of cancelling gigs?
Yes.
So he's cancelled more than 400 shows, including almost half of the last 100, according to the fanzine site, We Heart Music.
So, I mean, if you have a ticket, it's so disappointing, isn't it?
I don't know, you're not going to get your money back because it wasn't cancelled.
It was just impossible to do it because of indescribable hell.
He's going to have to repay the money.
You would hope so.
And yet he has so many fans still, it's crazy. Like, they're so well-loved.
Do they like him in part because of this?
Maybe.
Do you think that he is difficult, and he has always been difficult, and is that part of his perceived artistry? Is that a thing?
I don't know. That would just annoy me. I don't think I'd forgive him for that now if I was...
It would be hard. Yeah. It would be hard.
Like if, you know, his voice is gone or something, that's fine, but I'm tired. Come on.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep.
I wasn't just tired. He was in indescribable hell.
Catatonic.
He's catatonic. It's actually fantastic.
He's catatonic.
But he can still tweet.
I know.
He's still able to.
Imagine being the poor person. If it is an assistant who has to go, oh God. I'm just gonna make it sound like you. Is that okay?
I'd say he's not an easy man to work
for. No.
No. No. But I do think that very tricky nature that he has is part of
the charm. The attraction.
A charm might be this charming man. That charm might be an overstatement, but it's him, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It is Morrissey.
It's authentic.
He is himself.
Yeah, well, heaven knows his fans are miserable now about that decision. But we better leave it there. As always, thank you to Alison Curtis and to Ger Gilroy. Sinead Will, Ewan, New, Big Misha, agus Ciara Haranash, Iver Janta, Egg, Carriga Clug, De Luan, Bunagi Sup, Us on Gerra Shachtana.
Sha.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.